peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. I want to be where you are. I have to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I need to be where you are. Love is where you are. Joy is where.
For your glory, not our own, but for your glory. Oh Lord, overwhelm us with your glory, Lord. God, we realize that apart from you, we are nothing. We can't do nothing. We need you, Lord. God, we can't make it without you. It's all for your glory, God. And even now, Lord, even now, right now, as we come to your word, open up our hearts, God. Open up our minds. Open up our ears to hear what thus says the Spirit. Oh God, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. The servants are listening. Help me now, Father. Help me now. Help me now by your Spirit to preach your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise just for being good. Hallelujah. 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 I was almost led to do a part two of It's Time to Have Some Babies after I received a text message this past week from one of the members who basically said they saw a news article of this 72-year-old woman who had a baby. And they say, Pastor, here's your sermon right here. It's time to have some babies, but we're not going to do part two today. We won't do part two. If you would turn to Ephesians, we're back in Ephesians, about halfway through the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll look at verses 1 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 3. When you have it, say agape. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. It says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and competent access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. From this passage of scripture, we've been tracking through Ephesians, and from this passage of scripture, we're going to use as a title, Serving to the Glory of God. Serving to the glory of God. And you see the graphic on the screen. It says lights, camera, action. Lights, camera, action. Serving to the glory of God. By way of introduction, we tracked through this book from chapters 1 up until this very point, and we learned in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus. Those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ, we learned of all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus. The fact that we've been redeemed by Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. All of the spiritual blessings that Paul laid out in Ephesians chapter 1, we've learned that those are accessible to us because now we're in Jesus Christ. Then we went on in chapter 2 and we discovered that because of God, we became children of God. At one point in time, we were all considered children of wrath, children of destruction. We were on our way to a Christless eternity, but we found out, but God intervened by way of Jesus Christ and provided a way for us so that we are no longer children of wrath, but we're children of promise. We're children of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We also discovered that we are God's workmanship, God's poem, God's masterpiece, God's trophies of grace. We've discovered that we were God's trophies of grace, and we understood that as we're his trophies of grace, also at the latter part of chapter 2, we discovered that we're all being built up into the body of Christ. We're the believers of Jesus Christ. We're one in Jesus Christ. We make up the body of Christ, and we're forming the church of the living God, which is the body of Jesus Christ, and we're in that process. We're in that process. And as I shared before, the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters of Ephesians basically tells us who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and all of the things that we need to accomplish in Christ. But the latter part of the book of Ephesians, chapters 4 through 6, tells us how we ought to operate, how we ought to apply all that we are, all that we have, the latter part. And so here we are on the threshold of getting ready to cross over into chapter 4. And this letter is a beautiful letter written to the church at Ephesus by the Apostle Paul. A beautiful letter. And it's letting us know that it's time for us. We're at this stage where we're getting ready to go into the application of what we already are in Christ. How we live out who we are in Jesus Christ. And Agape Christian Church and everyone under the sound of my voice, particularly at this church, God is positioning us. He has positioned us to do greater things for the kingdom of God. We're here to build the body of Christ, and there's a work for each and every one of us to do. Can I get a witness? And here we are. It's transitioning. It's similar to a movie dramatization where you've got all of the actors. Everyone has been given their script. Everyone has been given their role, their responsibility in this play, in this movie, in this drama, what have you. Everyone has been given their role and their responsibility. They all have been given their role and responsibility. They practiced, they've rehearsed, they've gone through so many different things, they've suffered, they've gone through so many different things to get up to the actual play, to the actual dramatization, to carry it out. And it's the same way as it relates to us in the body of Christ, where Paul, he's painted this picture, and here we are, we're close to the end. And y'all know a good movie, it always has a good climax up until that movie. But we're all waiting till the end to see what it's really going to be. Amen. And in the church of the living God, all of us are actors in God's program. We're actors in God's plan. We have responsibilities and roles to play leading up. It's lights, camera, action. Lights, camera, action. And we're to serve to the glory of God. It's all for His glory. It's His play. It's His show. And if you and I are going to serve to the glory of God, number one, this is something that you have to get. Number one, if we're going to serve to the glory of God, number one, we must be willing to suffer in our service. We must be willing to suffer in our service. Say suffer. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Paul says this: "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." Paul said that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, you have to understand something. When Paul wrote this letter, Paul was in prison. Paul was in a Roman jail when he penned this letter to the church of Ephesus. He's locked up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to serve to the glory of God, we must be willing to suffer in our service. And in verse 13 of chapter 1, he says this: "Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory." Now, Paul wrote this letter from in prison, and notice what he said. I love this about what he said. Notice that Paul says in verse 1, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." But he's a prisoner in the Roman jail. He's a prisoner in the Roman jail, but he made the statement that I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And what we have to understand about the Apostle Paul, Paul was a tyrant before he met Jesus Christ. Paul persecuted anyone that followed Jesus Christ. The scripture says those who were of the way, those followers of Jesus Christ, Paul would breathe out threats against them. And Paul, on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, got arrested by Jesus. Got arrested by Jesus. And once Paul was arrested by Jesus, that changed his life. And so understanding, once you've been arrested by Jesus Christ, you're willing to suffer whatever it takes because you've already been arrested by the Master. And if you haven't been arrested by the Master, then when you suffer, you're suffering by yourself. But when you've been arrested by the Master, it doesn't matter what man does to you. It doesn't matter what man tries to harm you with. I'm already a prisoner of Jesus. But understanding this, understanding when we say yes to Jesus, we will suffer. We will suffer. And we all understand that suffering, it has a purpose. Suffering has a purpose. Let me back up a little bit so that you understand what I'm talking about. Paul had been arrested by Jesus. And so Paul had his assignment. He had his role to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But in Acts chapter 20, I love this. Acts chapter 20, Paul says in verse 22 to 24, he says, "And see, now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem." He's already bound. He's bound in the spirit. "I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God." Paul says none of these things move me. Why? He had already been arrested. He had already been arrested by Jesus Christ. And listen, for you and I as actors on this stage, we have to understand that as we follow Jesus Christ, suffering is inevitable. Suffering is inevitable. You know, that is one of the most misrepresentations of the gospel of the Christian faith, this whole doctrine of prosperity. All of these teachings about once you say yes to Jesus, then everything is going to fall in line just right. But see, that's from a man's perspective, but not a God perspective. Because many of us that have been walking this walk know the moment we said yes to Jesus, it's like all hell broke loose. Listen. The Bible says those who seek to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And the question that all of us have to ask ourselves, if you're not suffering anything, whose team are you on? Because my Bible tells me that if I follow Christ, the way of Christ is the cross. There's suffering involved in following Jesus Christ. But Paul says, look, none of these things move me. None of these things move me from my assignment, from my role, and from my responsibility. And look what happened in Acts 21. It tells us, it says, Acts 21, 33 and 34 says, then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And for all of our young people, here's the original two chains. Hey, Paul is the original two chains. Commanded him to be bound with two chains, and he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. Paul is the original two chains. He was arrested, and he went still knowing that he would be arrested. And I wonder if God was to reveal to us the persecution that lies ahead. I wonder how many of us would still press forward. Paul knew by way of the Holy Spirit that he would be in chains, that he would be arrested, and yet he continued on. But we understand that persecution and suffering is in place to strengthen our faith, to develop our character. James 1, 2 and 4 says it like this: consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The purpose of trials is to develop our character so that we become all that God wants us to become. Anytime you're dealing with persecution, anytime you're dealing with suffering, James says, count it joy. James says, get happy. James says, rejoice when we're being persecuted, when we're suffering, because God is at work. And you ought to be excited that God has chosen you, chosen me to suffer for him. That was the greatest joy of the disciples, to suffer like Jesus Christ. Suffer like Jesus Christ. We should count it joy. It's like Job. It's like Job. Satan in heaven with all the angels reporting to God. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Can God say that about us? Have you considered my servant Stuart? Or you can put your name in there. Has God considered my servant, whoever your name, whatever your name is? Are you willing to say, God, pick me? We're talking about growing, being stretched. So we understand that suffering has a purpose to develop our character, to make us stronger in our faith. Not only that, another purpose of suffering that you and I have to understand, especially as it relates to the church and as it relates to what we're dealing with, suffering is also used to strengthen other believers. God allows us to go through things to give us an opportunity to strengthen the faith of other believers. You know why? Somebody's always watching. Someone's always watching. Look at verse 13. He says, look, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. They are your glory. Listen, Paul understood that these Gentiles would come across persecution and that they would be persecuted. And what Paul is letting them know is, listen, I'm willing to endure what I'm enduring to strengthen your faith. To strengthen your faith. And y'all, that has to be our mindset when we're going through what we go through. It can't just be about us. It needs to be about other believers. Other believers are watching us. They're watching us on the stage. The lights are on us. And they're watching us to see how we react during our times of suffering. During our times of suffering. He said, it's for your glory. It's for your glory. Listen, the greatest testimony is not what we say, but it's what we do. You know, you can talk faith all day long. You can walk in work. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm a child of the King. My God can move mountains. And then something go wrong and you panic. Oh, my God. And what people say is, what kind of faith is that? I don't want any parts of that. But if they can see you stand strong, even though you're being persecuted at work, even though the boss is getting on your last nerve and you still walk in and say, good morning, sir, or good morning, ma'am, or that coworker is getting on your last nerve and all you do is just keep on loving on them, keep on speaking words of encouragement over them, people will take notice and say, that's something different about you. Suffering is not only just to strengthen us, but it's to strengthen the faith of so many others. So many others. And we've got to understand that. Paul to the church at Philippi, he says this, chapter 1, he says, look, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. There it is right there. There it is right there. Other saints will develop courage. Other saints will become more bold when they see our faith, when they see us stand strong in the midst of trial. Listen, and here's the summing up of all of it. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. In other words, what I'm going through right now, it ain't nothing compared to what I got coming to me later on. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. But if we're going to bring glory to God, you and I have to understand that there will be suffering. We'll be suffering. Number two, if we're going to bring glory to God, we must be good stewards. Stewards of our God-given assignments. We must be good stewards of our God-given assignments. Say stewards. Stewards. That's not my name. That's stewards. Stewards. Look. Paul says this in verse 2. He says, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now that word stewardship in its original meaning, it means one who is able to manage the property of someone else. One who is able to manage to give administration to the property of someone else. In other words, God has given us, he gifted Paul with the gospel to the Gentiles, and Paul's responsibility was to manage that gift that God gave him. That was his responsibility, and management, stewardship is being able to manage what God has given us. It's big. Now, how do you manage what God has given to you? But first you need to understand or find out what it is that God has told you to manage. Paul knew his assignment. He said it right here in the text. My assignment was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. It's in the text. And here's the question. What is your God-given assignment? Because we're on the stage. Yeah. Amen. The lights, of camera, action. We're on the stage. But what is your assignment? What is it that God is calling you to do? I can tell you what it's not. I know what it's not. It's not coming here every Sunday and just sitting. I know it's not that. Every born again believer in Jesus Christ has a spiritual gift. At least one spiritual gift. Please hear me. Every born again believer in Jesus Christ has at least one spiritual gift. Paul knew what his was. What about you? What is your spiritual gift? And listen, it's not singing. Those are talents. And we did a 6-week course on spiritual gifts. And your spiritual gift falls in one of two categories. One is speaking, or the other is serving. Thank you all. Y'all make me look good as a teacher. Speaking or serving. And you ought to be operating in one of those areas. At least one. Speaking or serving. And we've got to know what our assignment is if we're going to do what God has called us to do to his glory. Paul recognized his assignment, which was to take the good news to the Gentile. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards, managers of the manifold grace of God. As each one, y'all see that? That's the scripture. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift. If you are a born again believer, you have a gift. And when you're not operating in your area of giftedness, you rob the church. You are robbing the church of what God wants us all to become because of your gift. It's just like in basketball. In basketball, you got a point guard, shooting guard, a center, forward, power forward, small forward. And if one of those positions, if they're not functioning in their area the way they need to function, it messes up the whole team. Same when it comes to football, volleyball, any other team sport, any other thing that requires a team. If one individual is not functioning the way they need to function, it's going to mess up the whole team. And the question is, what is your assignment? Are you messing up the team? We need you to operate in your area of giftedness. Don't do us like that. We're trying to get somewhere. We're trying to accomplish something, especially here at Agape Christian Church. Listen, you need to be operating in your giftedness. Y'all, listen, God has done incredible things in 2 years, but like y'all keep hearing me say it over and over and over again, we ain't seen nothing yet. When everybody begins operating in their area of giftedness, look out, look out, look out, get ready, get ready, get ready. But you can't just sit there speaking or serving. You fall in one of those categories. Fall in one of those categories. And y'all been hearing, get out the boat, 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 get out the boat. If you still in the boat, come on now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't do us like that. One of those, and you got to ask God to reveal what it is. If you don't know, God, show me. Reveal it to me, because see, these are spiritual gifts. And no one can tell you that this is your area of giftedness. The Holy Spirit has to make that known to you. Paul says he received this revelation by the Spirit of God, what his spiritual gifting was. And so in order to get that, you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. See, you can't walk in the flesh and expect to hear God. You can't. You'll hear all kinds of stuff. You hear all kinds of voices in your flesh. But when we walk in the Spirit, we can hear the voice of God. And God said, this is what I called you to do. And you're going to know it without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. I remember when God told me what he wanted me to do. It was crystal clear. Crystal clear. Crystal clear. He said, you're going to preach my word. You're going to preach my word. I was leaving. I've never left church early. But I left church early that night. I can't even tell you why. And I was on my way to my car. And all of a sudden, I could just hear something saying, stop. So I stopped. And it was a breeze that just blew by me. A breeze that just blew by me. And I heard a small voice say, Stuart, I want you to preach my word. And I said, okay. I went on to my car. I got in my car. I put my keys on the floorboard. I don't know what I was doing, but I put my keys on the floorboard. And then I heard the voice says, I'm not through with you. Go back. So I got out the car. I went back. Actually, I put my keys down. I couldn't find them. And then the voice said, go back. So I went back to the same spot. And the voice says, I want you to really understand what I'm calling you to do. Spirit of God said, look up. And I looked up and I saw the stars and the expanse of the heavens. And God was saying, this is no small task, what I'm calling you to. And you need to get in your head that this is bigger than you. It's bigger than anything you can imagine, what I'm calling you to. And it was right then that I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, yes, I got it. It was an overwhelming presence of God. I took my shoes off. I was on my knees. And I stayed there. And then God says, you got it. said, yes, Lord. I got up, went back to my car. I reached right down, grabbed my keys, and cranked my car up. What is God calling you to do? Man didn't give me that. That's from God. And we all of us have at least one spiritual gift. At least one. And understand this. We also got to realize that we've been empowered by God to accomplish this God-given assignment. Look at what he said in verse 7. He says, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Working of his power to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Now, Paul understood. Thank you. The same power. Thank you, Lord. The same power that saved us and delivered us and set us free and redeemed, that same power that liberated us from the bondage of sin, it doesn't stop at salvation. Don't y'all miss that? No. It does not stop at salvation. What Paul is saying is the same power that saved me is the same power that has moved me to do the ministry which God has called me to do. There's no such thing as getting saved and then sitting. No. What happens is that same power that set us free also calls us to go serve to the glory of God, to the glory of God. And here's what's critical. You've got to serve in the Spirit of God if you want to be impacting. It's got to be in the Spirit of God. It can't be in the flesh if it's going to be impacting. If you're going to do damage to Satan's kingdom, if you're going to see God's working in your life and in what he's called you to do, it's got to be done in the Spirit of God. Can't be done in the flesh. Can't be done in the flesh. Can't be done in the flesh. And many times we're trying to accomplish spiritual things in the flesh. And there's no power. No power because we're operating in the flesh. But if you want to see the power of God working in your life, allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in you. Say, God, here I am, a chosen vessel to be used by you. The Spirit of God will begin doing things with you and through you that you had no idea you could do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God has a way of taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things when we allow him to have his way. Allow him to have his way. Listen. Galatians 2:8, he says this, for he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles. Paul was effective in his calling and in his area of services. And here's the question, what impact are you making? What impact? I read an article the other day. We need to get away from trying to make a dollar to start making a difference. As children of the King, children that follow Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, it's not about making a dollar. It's about making a difference. It's about making an impact in the time in which we have on this earth. What impact are you making for the glory of God in your area of giftedness? What are you doing with the assignment? Are you being a good steward of your assignment that God has given you? 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. But he says, woe is me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And this is what we ought to be saying. Woe is me. Woe is me if I'm not doing what God has called me to do. If I'm not operating in my area. Woe is me. In other words, I can't help but preach the gospel. Y'all know. Y'all hear preachers always say, this is my last point. And then 4 points later, they say, this is my last point. That they can't help but preach. You give them a microphone, a preacher ought to preach. Amen. There should never come a day when a preacher say, I don't have a message. Woe is me. I'm going to be miserable if I can't preach the gospel. It's like the boys club. I grew up at the boys club. If my mother told me you can't go to the boys club, y'all, I had a fit. I thought I was going to die. And it ought to be the same way. That's why. Y'all, that's why I serve with so much zeal. And it should be easy for us to give God our all, especially when you know where he brought you from. Every time I think about where God, brought me from, it motivates me to give him more. I owe you, God. I owe you so much because you've delivered me from so much. And for those of us that are recipients of God's grace, we ought to be motivated to serve him to the glory of Almighty God. What you want me to do, God? Here I am. Here I am, God. Send me. Here I am, God. Send me. That ought to be the mindset of us that are in Christ Jesus. Finally, we must know and understand that our service has spiritual implications. We must know and understand that our service has spiritual implications. Say spiritual. Look at verse 10. I love this. Verse 10. It says, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Y'all, that is a loaded scripture. That's a loaded scripture. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Our purpose, here it is. Our purpose for serving God is to show God's manifold wisdom through the church, which is us, the body of Christ. It's not a building. The church is not a building. The church is the people of God, a body of believers in Jesus Christ. Our purpose for serving God is to show his manifold wisdom through the church to the entire spiritual world. Y'all catch that? To the entire spiritual world. Both good angels and bad angels. To the entire spiritual world. To show God's manifold wisdom. Let me talk about the word manifold. The word manifold means variety. Y'all not hearing me this morning. Y'all gonna make me work. The manifold wisdom of God is this. The mind of God is that the variety, manifold is variety, meaning whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you've done this much sin, whether you've done this much sin. Matters not. What the manifold wisdom of God is saying, I've taken someone who was so bad off, and I've cleaned them up, I've dusted them off, and I've made them part of the body of Christ. And what the scripture is saying, it says through the church. Y'all not hearing me this morning. Through the church, he wants to reveal his manifold wisdom to those in the spiritual world, both good angels and bad angels. And see, this is why Paul is preparing us, because once we begin chapter 4 and going all the way up to chapter 6 of Ephesians, he tells us about spiritual warfare. Yeah. Read chapter 6, he's talking about putting on the full armor of God. Full armor. There's a reason that's in there, because what's happening and what God is doing, God is saying, I'm going to take somebody that you thought you had in your grips, and I'm going to deliver them. And not only am I going to deliver them and set them free, I'm going to use them for my glory. Somebody hear me this morning. And when God sets somebody free, and when God delivers somebody from the power of sin, and he takes that person and he puts them in Satan's face, Satan don't like that. Satan got a problem with that. Have I got a witness in him? And that's why he's saying you got to put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God, because Satan is mad that dirt has now taken his place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Satan had a place in heaven. He was high in the rankings in heaven. But his pride got to him to the point that he got kicked out, and a third of the angels got kicked out with him. And so you've got to understand how mad he is that God will take a sinner such as you and I, clean us up,
The Bible says in chapter 2 that we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. In other words, Satan, I've taken your place. Listen. And I thought about that. I said, well, now, God, but why? Why do you have to show Satan? See, Satan has been deceived. Satan is such a deceiver that he's deceived his own self. You ever met somebody who lies so much? They start believing their own lie. That Satan is a deceiver. Satan actually thinks he's going to win. And that's deception. He actually thinks that he's going to win. And Jesus Christ already defeated him on Calvary's cross. But for some strange reason, he thinks he's still going to win. But God says, I've got something that's going to seal the deal. I've got some folks that I've redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've got some people that you thought you had your grips on. I've got some people that I'm gathering together called the church of the living God. And the Bible says that it's through the church that he's going to put in front of Satan. I've got something I got to share with y'all. Then I'm going to be done. Listen, that's why he said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? What God wanted to do was put Job on display. That's really what he wanted to do. So he let Satan have at him for a little while. Satan had his way with him. Took everything that he had. Took all his family. Took everything that he had. But the Bible said, Job sinned not against God. And if you keep on reading the story, the Bible says at the end of the day, Job worshiped his God. So when you are suffering, when you are trying to serve, when you are trying to be a good steward, always remember, always know that the story ain't over. If you just hang on in there, if you just stand fast, you gotta know that one of these old days, God's gonna gather all of his children and he's gonna say, Satan, look at my church. Look at those that I've redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I ain't through. I got one more for you. Look at this. Not only is he going to reveal it to bad angels, but y'all, the Bible says something about the good angels. Oh, look. Something about the good angels. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. It says this: as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that will come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Here it is. Verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, and these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look into. The angels, see, y'all got to understand, salvation to Gentiles, to you and I, have been hidden in the mind of God. The angels didn't even know what God was up to. Oh, but then came Jesus. And Jesus died on Calvary's cross that gave us eternal life. And then God already had chosen Israel, but then God decided to choose Gentiles who were not of Israel. And because of that, just like Paul says, we become heirs of Jesus Christ. We become fellow members of Israel. We become covenant receivers because of Jesus Christ. All the promises that God had given Israel, now we have them because we're in Jesus Christ. And so the angels is looking saying, wait a minute, this is something different. We ain't seen nothing like this. God, you done come out of the bag with a new one on us. These are people who were created with dirt, and now they're children of the Most High God. Wait a minute. But look at this. Luke 15:10 says it this way. In the same way, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of angels and of God over one sinner who repents. The Bible said there's joy in heaven with the angels over one sinner who repents. But we're talking about the church of the living God. Not just one, not just two, not just three, but thousands, thousands, thousands of born again believers. John the Revelator, here it is. John the Revelator says it like this. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Do y'all know who that is? That's us. That's us. Look, "And have made us kings and priests of our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Listen to what John says. "Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings.'" I'm going to close with this one. It's playoff time. It's the NBA finals time. We're getting close to the finals. Our Spurs lost the other day. They worked hard. They played hard. But they lost to OKC. OKC has to play Golden State for the Western Conference Finals. Championship for the Western Conference Final. From that seven-game series, somebody's going to emerge as a winner. But then once they emerge as a winner, they've got to face the winner of Cleveland and Toronto or Miami. I believe Cleveland going to get it. But here it is, here it is. At some point in time, whoever's in the championship, they got to play each other. And from that seven-game series, somebody's going to emerge as a champion. And here it is. I don't care what fan you are or which team you follow, you're going to have to acknowledge that that particular team is the champion. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, in the same way, if you own Team Jesus, hey, hey, if you own Team Jesus, I'm here to declare to you that one of these old days, Satan and all of his demons are going to have to acknowledge that Team Jesus is the champ. Team Jesus is the champ. But wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. When the team win the championship, guess what, y'all? They got to have a parade. Hey, hey, hey. And every one of the fans of that team has an opportunity to shout and praise their team. Well, all of us that are in Jesus Christ, there's going to be a parade. There's going to be a parade when all of God's children get together. What a time. What a time. What a time. What a time. Hey, 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 glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sir, to the glory of Almighty God, hang on in there, hang on in there. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You're awesome. Father, this is my heart's desire. That this not just be an emotional experience, but a godly experience. Father, that we will be willing to suffer for your glory, God. That we will be good stewards for your glory, God. So much so that we shake up Satan and his demonic hosts. Help us, God. Help us, God. Father, everything you do is with a purpose. Everything that you do is with a purpose, God. Forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, God, for being slack in our stewardship. Forgive us, oh God, for not being diligent in that which you called us to. Oh God. Oh God, we need you. We need you, God. We can't do this on our own. We need you so much, Lord. Oh Lord, you're our strength, you're our redeemer. And Father, someone who's under the sound of my voice today, God, oh Lord, that don't know Jesus. Father, you told us we're no longer children of wrath, but those who are not in Jesus Christ, Father, they have to face your wrath. And I pray today, they come down crying, what must I do to be saved? God, you're able. We know you're able because you did it for us. And the same God that's turned us around can turn them around. Matters not. Father, we know you saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. There's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing. So God, I pray they're here today that they'll make a decision for you. Become part of Team Jesus. Hallelujah.